Okay, so last time we were talking about Brian Johnson, all that data he uses to track his biological age,
Yeah.
it was pretty mind-blowing.
It really was.
But you know what you were all really curious about? What are the actual recipes
Recipes, yeah.
that fuel this whole experiment?
Right.
What is this guy eating to supposedly reverse his aging?
Right, we talked about the what. Now it's time for the how.
Yes.
And luckily, Johnson is incredibly open about his methods. I mean, he's shared his entire protocol online, even the exact ingredients and how he preps everything for each meal.
Well, let's dive right in.
Okay.
He calls his breakfast the super veggie.
Uh-huh.
And from the looks of it, it's not for everyone.
Right.
Imagine a massive blend of broccoli, cauliflower, lentils,
Oh my gosh.
ginger, and garlic.
Okay.
All of that turned into this thick green, well, I can't even call it a smoothie.
Yeah, more like a superpowered soup. But nutritionally speaking, it's a gold mine packed with vitamins, minerals, fiber, everything you need to fight cellular aging and get a great start to the day.
I'm trying to picture myself drinking that first thing in the morning.
Yeah.
Maybe he sneaks in some spinach to make it taste better.
Actually, he adds a tablespoon of dark chocolate.
Oh.
The pure 100% cacao kind.
Interesting.
He claims it adds a surprisingly delicious complexity to the flavor.
Okay, that's a twist I wasn't expecting.
Yeah.
But it makes sense. Dark chocolate's full of antioxidants,
Right.
which are great for fighting cell damage.
Exactly. And he's not just tossing in any old chocolate. He's super meticulous about the quality of everything.
Oh, wow.
Even his olive
His
oils
olive oil.
has to meet specific standards for things like polyphenols and oleic acid. There's actually evidence that higher quality olive oil is linked to better health.
So he's taking you are what you eat to a whole new level.
He really is.
It's almost like he's treating his body like a high-performance machine.
That's a great analogy. He's really fine-tuning every input to optimize his output, which in this case is his health and longevity.
Okay, so we've covered the super veggie breakfast.
Right.
What else is on the menu?
Next up is something he calls nutty pudding.
Okay.
Now, this one actually sounds pretty tempting.
But tell me more. This is the first thing we've talked about that doesn't sound like punishment.
It's a blend of ground macadamia nuts, walnuts, chia seeds, flaxseed, cocoa powder, and pomegranate juice.
I could see that being a decent substitute for dessert.
Yeah.
Definitely healthier than a slice of cake.
Absolutely. It's packed with healthy fats, protein, and fiber.
Wow.
Those nuts and seeds are fantastic for your heart and brain. And the pomegranate juice adds even more antioxidants.
Okay, so maybe this blueprint diet isn't all bad,
Right.
but is it all just blended concoction?
Not at all for his third meal.
Okay.
He has more variety. We're talking salads, roasted veggies, that kind of thing.
You're glad to hear it. So there's at least some normalcy in his day.
He has a whole bunch of recipes, all with very specific ingredients and instructions. Variety seems to be important to him, even with all the strictness. He even incorporates things like Manuka honey for its antibacterial properties.
So it's not just about what he eats, but
Yeah.
also how he prepares it.
Right. He's really thoughtful about the entire process.
Interesting.
He uses low temperature, high humidity cooking methods to minimize the formation of harmful compounds like AGs.
AGs.
Yeah, those contribute to aging, so he's trying to avoid them as much as possible.
It's fascinating how he's thinking about food on a cellular level.
I
Not
know.
just what it tastes like or if it fills you up,
Right.
but how it's actually impacting his body on a microscopic scale.
It's a holistic approach.
Yeah.
He's not just looking at the big picture, he's zooming in on the tiniest details.
Okay, I have to ask, is this level of meticulousness really necessary?
Well,
I mean, I get wanting to be healthy, but this seems pretty extreme.
that's the million-dollar question, isn't it?
Yeah.
Is it all worth it?
Right.
We're only starting to see his results, so it's hard to say definitively.
Okay, but I have one more burning question before we move on.
Okay.
With all this talk about optimizing his diet, there's one glaring omission.
You're talking about meat, right?
Exactly. Where's the protein? Is he a vegetarian?
He actually follows a vegan diet,
A vegan diet.
at least for most of his meals.
Okay.
The only exception is collagen peptides.
Interesting. But that's got to be tough, right?
Yeah.
Giving up meat entirely.
It would be for me,
Yeah.
but for him, it's not about any ethical or environmental reasons. He's purely focused on what the data tells him is optimal for his biological age.
So you're saying he's not against meat in principle.
Right.
There just hasn't been enough evidence to convince him to include it in his plan.
Exactly. He's all about the data, remember. If a study comes out tomorrow showing incredible anti-aging benefits of a specific type of meat, he'd probably be the first one to add it to his diet.
A commitment. Okay.
Yeah.
So no meat for Brian Johnson for now.
Right.
But let's get back to the recipes. We've got to talk more about those third meal options. I'm really curious what a vegan dinner looks like for someone this dedicated to health optimization.
Well, he's got a bunch of different recipes, and they actually look pretty good.
Really?
There's a Buddha bowl with roasted sweet potato, asparagus, white beans, and a lemon dill dressing.
Okay.
He's also got roasted veggie lettuce wraps with a pomegranate relish.
Okay, those sound delicious.
Yeah.
I might have to try those myself. Anything else?
He's got a recipe for beet poke with mango, avocado, and sesame seeds. It seems like he's not depriving yourself of flavor or variety.
Right.
Even with his strict dietary goals.
So healthy eating doesn't have to be bland and boring.
Not at all.
That's a good reminder for all of us.
Absolutely. And it makes you wonder,
right,
what if we could all achieve incredible results just by being more intentional about our food choices?
Yeah.
Like Brian Johnson, but maybe not quite as extreme.
Right. It's inspiring, even if we don't want to go all in on blended veggies and early bedtimes. But speaking of bedtimes, we have to talk about his sleep routine.
Oh, yes. That's a whole other deep dive waiting to happen.
I know.
He's got some fascinating insights on how to optimize sleep for maximum rejuvenation.
All right. Let's save that for next time. We've got plenty more to uncover about this fascinating guy and his quest for eternal youth.
So we talked about Brian Johnson's super veggie concoction and his nutty pudding.
Right.
Do you want to go into more detail about the specific ingredients in each of those recipes?
You know, I think we've covered the highlights of those.
Okay.
What's really piquing my curiosity is his third meal options.
Oh, yeah.
We touched on them briefly, but I want to dive deeper.
Okay.
You mentioned a Buddha bowl.
Yeah.
What exactly is in that?
It's a really colorful and nutrient-rich dish.
Okay.
He combines roasted sweet potato, asparagus, and white beans.
Uh-huh.
And for a flavorful twist,
yeah,
he adds a lemon dill dressing.
That sounds delicious and surprisingly gourmet for someone so focused on strict optimization. Yeah. I'm starting to think this whole blueprint diet isn't as intimidating as I initially imagined.
Yeah, it's definitely not your typical diet food.
Right.
He seems to prioritize both flavor and nutrition.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks like he enjoys experimenting with different combinations of ingredients.
Okay, what else is on the third meal menu? I'm ready for more culinary inspiration.
He has a recipe for roasted veggie lettuce wraps that sounds amazing.
Okay.
He uses a medley of roasted vegetables
and
tops them with a pomegranate relish for a burst of flavor and antioxidants.
Pomegranates. I love that he incorporates those.
Yeah.
They're so good for you.
But he definitely seems to have a knack for combining ingredients that are both delicious and beneficial for longevity.
Yeah.
And if you're a fan of beets, he even has a recipe for beet poke.
Beet poke. I've never heard of that.
Yeah.
What's in it?
It's a creative twist on the traditional poke bowl.
Okay.
He combines diced beets with mango, avocado, and sesame seeds.
Oh.
It's a vibrant mix of flavors and textures.
Wow. These recipes are making me rethink my own meal planning.
I know.
Maybe I need to be more adventurous in the kitchen.
Right.
Yeah.
It's inspiring to see how he approaches food. It's not about deprivation or restriction.
Right.
It's about making informed choices and exploring new flavors.
Right. And he even encourages people to personalize his recipes.
Oh, yeah.
We talked about how he's vegan.
Uh-huh.
But he doesn't force that on anyone.
Right.
He's open to people adding meat or other ingredients to suit their preferences.
Exactly. It's all about finding what works best for you. But the key takeaway is the level of intentionality he brings to his diet.
Uh-huh.
He's not just mindlessly eating whatever's convenient.
Right.
He's carefully selecting each ingredient based on its nutritional value and potential impact on his health and longevity.
That's such a powerful message. It's not about copying his exact recipes.
Right.
But rather adopting that mindful approach to food.
Absolutely. It's about being curious about the ingredients we put into our bodies and making choices that support our overall well-being. But let's move on from the what to the how.
Okay.
We know he's meticulous about his ingredient selection.
Right.
But what about the cooking process itself? Does he have any specific techniques?
That's a great point. We can't just assume he's microwaving these gourmet meals.
You're right. He's just as deliberate about his cooking methods as he is about his ingredients.
Okay.
Remember how he's trying to minimize those harmful compounds called AGEs?
I do.
Well, his cooking techniques play a big role in that.
So what does he do differently?
He primarily uses low-temperature, high-humidity cooking methods.
Okay.
Think steaming, poaching, or using a slow cooker.
Uh-huh.
He avoids high-heat methods like grilling or frying because those can create more AGs.
That makes sense. It's almost like he's treating his food with the same care and precision that he treats his body.
Exactly. He's not just throwing things together and hoping for the best. He's applying a scientific approach to every aspect of his diet.
This whole deep dive is really highlighting the power of intentionality, isn't it?
Absolutely. It's about being mindful of the choices we make and understanding how those choices impact our health and longevity.
I'm feeling inspired to take a closer look at my own cooking habits.
Yeah.
Maybe I need to dust off that slow cooker.
There you go.
But you know, we've been talking about Brian Johnson's diet for a while now.
Right.
Are you ready to switch gears and explore another facet of his blueprint?
Absolutely. We've covered the recipes in detail. Where do you want to go next?
Let's talk about sleep. I'm fascinated by his approach to optimizing sleep for rejuvenation. He calls it nighttime Brian taking over.
Yes, he's very specific about the habits that can sabotage a good night's rest.
Oh.
He even has a list of the 6 silent killers of sleep.
Okay, I'm all ears. I'm definitely guilty of a few of those, I'm sure.
Let's start with the first one, eating too close to bedtime.
Oh, I know that one's a no-no. But tell me, how strict is he about this?
He believes that giving your body ample time to digest before sleep is crucial.
Uh-huh.
He's found that finishing his last meal by 11:30 a.m.
11:30 a.m.
leads to the best sleep quality.
That's earlier than I usually have lunch.
It does sound extreme, but remember, he meticulously tracks everything.
Right.
He uses his resting heart rate as a predictor of sleep quality.
Okay.
And he's found a clear link between late eating and an elevated heart rate before bed.
So basically, if your body is still busy digesting, it's not going to fully relax and transition into sleep mode.
Precisely. He also talks about how late night eating can cause blood sugar fluctuations, which can mess with your melatonin production.
Right.
And melatonin is essential for regulating sleep cycles.
Okay. I'm starting to see the logic here. Maybe I need to rethink my dinner schedule.
Maybe.
What's the next sleep saboteur on his list?
Number 2, not having a wind down routine. He's a big believer in preparing your mind and body for sleep.
Yeah.
It's about consciously transitioning from work mode to rest mode.
I love that analogy. It makes so much sense.
Right.
So what does his wind down routine look like?
He emphasizes avoiding any stimulating activities in the evening, like intense exercise or arguments.
Oh, those late night debates with my partner. Probably not the best recipe for restful sleep.
He recommends activities that activate the parasympathetic nervous system, the one that calms us down.
Oh.
Think reading, journaling, taking a bath, or a gentle walk.
It's all about creating a sense of tranquility before bed. I actually find that reading before sleep really helps me disconnect from the day.
He's a big proponent of that too. No screens, just the physical book. It's about signaling to your brain that it's time to wind down.
Okay, that one's already on my list. Well, what else does he highlight?
His third sleep saboteur is stimulants too late in the day.
Okay.
Think caffeine or alcohol.
My afternoon coffee habit might need some adjusting.
He points out that caffeine has a half-life of 6 hours.
Really?
So that afternoon latte could still be affecting you at bedtime.
He also mentioned that stimulants can disrupt mood throughout the day.
Yeah.
Leading to those energy peaks and crashes. It's about maintaining that steady, stable energy.
Mm-hmm.
And for him, that means cutting out caffeine and alcohol completely.
I admire his dedication, but I don't know if I could give up my morning coffee.
Yeah.
Maybe just pushing it a bit earlier.
Right? Small changes can make a big difference. Now, his fourth sleep saboteur is more about your environment not properly regulating evening light.
Oh, right.
Oh, right. I've heard about the importance of blue light for sleep.
He recommends dimming the lights about 2 hours before bed
and
switching to warmer color temperatures.
I have smart bulbs that can do that.
Oh, nice.
I just need to actually remember to use that feature.
He also suggests using apps that filter blue light from your screens or wearing blue light blocking glasses.
And ideally avoiding screens altogether for at least an hour before bed.
He's very strict about that. No phones, no TV, just those calming activities we talked about earlier.
Okay, I'm noticing a theme here.
Yeah.
It's all about creating that ideal sleep sanctuary.
Absolutely. And that brings us to his fifth sleep saboteur, your bedroom being too hot or too cold.
Oh, I definitely agree with that one.
Yeah.
I can't sleep if it's too stuffy.
He says the ideal sleep temperature is between 68 and 72 degrees Fahrenheit.
Okay.
But he actually takes it a step further.
How so?
He uses a temperature-controlled mattress that automatically adjusts throughout the night to match his sleep cycles.
Wow, that's next-level sleep optimization.
I know, and there's science behind it. Your body temperature naturally drops as you fall asleep.
Mm-hmm.
And a cooler room can help facilitate that process.
Makes sense. I'll just stick with my fan for now.
Yeah.
But a temperature-controlled mattress sounds pretty amazing.
He did mention one downside.
What's that?
He said it makes sleeping in hotel rooms unbearable.
Huh, I can imagine. Okay, last but not least, what's the final sleep saboteur?
Number 6, noise. He emphasizes how disruptive noise can be, even if we're not consciously aware of it.
Oh, yeah. Us annoying car alarms and noisy neighbors can really ruin a good night's sleep.
He recommends addressing those noise issues directly if possible, like politely asking those neighbors to turn down their music.
Good advice, and if that's not an option.
He suggests using a white noise machine to mask those disruptive sounds and create a more consistent sound environment.
I've been using a sleep app that plays nature sounds.
Oh, nice.
It's super relaxing.
There you go. It's all about finding what works best for you and creating that personalized sleep routine.
Okay, this deep dive into Brian Johnson's sleep habits has been really eye-opening.
I know, right?
I'm realizing I could be doing a lot more to improve my sleep quality.
But remember, it's not about being perfect or replicating his exact routine.
Right.
It's about taking those actionable steps that resonate with you.
You're right. It's about incorporating small, intentional changes that can have a big impact on our rest and rejuvenation.
And if Brian Johnson's results are any indication, those small changes can lead to significant improvements in our overall health and well-being.
So we've covered his meticulous diet and his sleep routine.
Yes.
What other areas of his blueprint are you curious about?
Well, we haven't talked about his workout routine yet. Remember, this is a guy aiming for peak physical performance, not just longevity.
Excellent point.
Yeah.
I'm ready to explore how he trains his body to be as youthful as his internal organs. So we've explored Brian Johnson's diet.
Yes.
And his sleep routine.
Uh-huh.
Now I'm ready to get physical.
Okay.
Tell me about his workout routine.
Well, get ready to be inspired.
Okay.
His approach to fitness is just as data-driven and meticulous as his diet.
Really?
He sees exercise as a tool to actively reverse aging.
Wow.
Not just maintain fitness.
It's like he's trying to turn back time with every rep.
He is.
So how does he actually train?
He combines strength training.
Okay.
High-intensity interval training and flexibility exercises. Mm. And it all starts with a dynamic warm-up to prepare his body for the workout ahead.
Okay, I'm feeling more energized just hearing about it. Give me the details.
For strength training.
Okay.
He focuses on compound movements that work multiple muscle groups.
Uh-huh.
Think squats, deadlifts, bench presses, and overhead presses. He even incorporates single rep max tests to track his strength gains.
Those are some serious power moves. I can barely do a single push-up.
He's not messing around, and he aims to be in the top 10% of 18-year-olds for these lifts.
What?
He's really pushing the boundaries of what's possible.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
He's not letting age define his limitations.
Right.
But is it all about lifting heavy weights?
Not at all.
Okay.
He also incorporates high-intensity interval training, or HIT, into his routine.
Mm-hmm.
Those are short bursts of intense exercise, followed by brief recovery periods.
I've heard those are super effective for burning fat and boosting metabolism.
They are, and they're great for heart health, which is a major focus for him as he aims to reverse his biological age.
Of course.
But strength training and HIIT are just part of the equation.
What else does he do?
He doesn't neglect flexibility.
Oh, good.
He emphasizes the importance of maintaining flexibility as we age.
Right.
Dedicating time to stretching and mobility exercises.
Mm. All right. Nobody wants to be that person who can't touch their toes.
Exactly.
Flexibility is definitely important.
Mm-hmm.
But with all this talk about high-intensity workouts,
yeah,
I'm wondering about his approach to injury prevention.
Oh, that's a great question. He's very mindful of that.
Okay.
He works with the coach to ensure he's using proper form and lifting safely.
Uh-huh.
He's not just trying to push himself to the limit.
Right.
He's prioritizing long-term health and sustainability.
That's smart. Especially as we age, preventing injuries becomes even more crucial.
It does.
But there's one thing we haven't mentioned yet.
What's that?
That plays a big role in his overall fitness. Posture.
Oh, you're absolutely right.
Remember how we talked about his jugular vein stenosis?
I do.
How bad posture contributed to that?
Yes.
Well, he's incredibly focused on correcting his posture.
Good for him.
He sees it as essential for both physical performance and overall health.
It makes sense.
It all connects, doesn't it?
It does.
Diet, sleep, exercise, posture. It's this intricate web that influences our well-being.
It is.
And Brian Johnson is showing us that we have more control over that web than we might think.
Exactly. This deep dive into Brian Johnson's blueprint has been incredibly revealing.
It has.
It's clear that he's not just throwing things at the wall and seeing what sticks.
Yeah.
He's approaching his health and longevity with a level of intentionality and rigor
Yeah.
that's truly remarkable.
I'm definitely feeling inspired to be more intentional about my own health journey.
Good.
It's not about copying his exact methods,
Right.
but rather adopting that mindset of curiosity and experimentation.
Absolutely. It's about finding what works best for you and committing to those small, consistent actions that can lead to big results over time.
So to wrap things up, what's the one key takeaway you want our listeners to remember from this deep dive?
It's simple. Take ownership of your health. Don't be passive. Be curious. Be informed and be proactive. You have the power to create your own blueprint
Yeah.
for a healthier, more vibrant life.
That's a great note to end on.
Yeah.
Thanks for joining me on this deep dive.
It was my pleasure. Until next time.